Twisters. Good thing this is now in February, not like in May or, you know, when all the severe weather tends to come. We're kind of flat around here, so it can kind of make me a little nervous. But anyways, so Twisters was a film last year that grossed about $370 million worldwide. So not too shabby. Got a 90% on the Rotten Tomatoes popcorn meter, which is like the audience's score of that. And so it was a really dynamic film. I will say it's PG-13, so if you haven't watched it and you want to watch it, just be aware there's a little bit of language in that. And so, but overall, a really powerful film in a number of ways. Before I jump into that, though, if you are new to LifePoint, this is day number one, or you've been coming for a few weeks. We would love to connect with you if you haven't taken a moment yet. So on the seat back in front of you, there is a QR code that you can scan or you can tap it with your phone, and it'll pull up there a website called lpguest.com. And there are some helpful resources to help you navigate the morning. One of those is the message notes. So if you like taking notes or following along, you can email those to yourselves at the end or at any point. There are some links that I may reference throughout the message as well that you can click on. And there's also at lpguest.com a connection card. And so if you would take just a few moments and fill that out, at the bottom there are six different ministries who are doing really amazing work here in Central Ohio. One of those I'll point out is DNA, Daily Needs Assistance. It operates right here in Plain City. It helps people who are maybe dealing with some under-resources, whether it become dealing with food or clothing or other kinds of things. And so if you fill that out and select one of those ministries, we'll donate an extra $5 to them. On your behalf, so you've taken some time to fill that out, can actually do something really kind and good and impact some people's lives today. And so thank you for taking a few moments to fill that out. So as I mentioned, our Now Playing series, we are looking at some films from the last year and really talking about some of the themes that show up in the movies and kind of what the Bible have to say about that. And so in a day when Jesus taught, he would take things like agriculture or farming, or take some kind of earthly kind of stories that people may have an understanding of, and then communicate something spiritual and significant about that. And so kind of our way, our parable, if you would, that we're doing that is with movies. And so we're going to take a film that perhaps you've seen or haven't seen, but really any good film, any good movie has a good story, and every good story points to really the greatest story. And we believe there's some elements in that that can help us see what God is up to and how he is working. And so just a little bit about Twisters, if you haven't seen it. It really deals with this central character named Kate. She loves tornadoes and really wants to try to leverage her life to do something to help people's lives who are impacted by those things. And so she's got kind of a gift, the movie kind of calls out, that she's got this instinct when she's out and outside and sees the weather and senses and feels it and has an idea of really what's going to happen with that. And so she wants to use that to help people. But while she's using her gift, what ends up happening is she loses those that are closest to her. And so by using her gift, it actually costs some people their lives. And so now she's afraid. She's got fear that's come in the midst of that. And now she's hesitant to really leverage and lean into her gift and to use it in that kind of way. And then she meets somebody. She's got a friend who comes in and says, hey, can you come and help me? One of her previous friends. And so they go together to try to jump back into chasing tornadoes. And she meets kind of one of the other characters in the film by Glenn Powell, Tyler Owens, the tornado wrangler. The guy in the white t-shirt and the cowboy hat, if you feel it, chase it, that kind of guy. And so they end up kind of chasing tornadoes. But here's, for me, one of the things I thought would be helpful for us that I think we can relate to in the film is none of us in here may have the gift when it comes to getting an idea of where tornadoes are going to appear. If you do, that is incredible. Come and talk to me afterwards. I would love to hear more about that. But I think inside each and every one of us that we do have a gift that God has put inside of us. But I think what can happen is sometimes we can wrestle with that. As we're not sure of that, we question it, or we're afraid to use our gifts. And we begin to let fear kind of to determine and drive how we live our lives, rather than living out and leveraging the gift God has put in you and me to really benefit and make a real impact in people's lives around us. So that's really what we're going to explore. We're going to look at 2 Timothy, the second letter written by the Apostle Paul to one of his disciples, Timothy. And so it's in the New Testament. You can open up your Bible and turn there. We're going to look at two verses today that I think really help us really lean into and to kind of unpack this theme a bit more. And so really significant, what I want to talk about here with that is this idea that what God puts in you, he wants to work through you. You see, that's really the big idea that I want us to kind of see from the text and really from this film. It's this idea that each and every one of us has a God-given gift. That none of us are here by accident. None of us here don't have anything meaningful to contribute to the world. That we all have something significant to do. because none of us were made by accident. We were made purposefully, intentionally, fearfully, and wonderfully, as the psalmist says in Psalm 139. But God has a gift that he's put inside you and me, and that he wants us to leverage our gifts. And so what God puts in you and me, he wants to work through you and me. You see, God desires to work through your life. And so as a follower of Jesus, if you're here today, know that God wants to use your life in significant ways today. And significant isn't big and massive and, you know, all the kinds of stuff. Significant is just doing something intentionally that God designed you to do. And if you're here today and you're not a follower of Jesus, or you're exploring faith, or wherever you're at, I want you to know as well that your life has purpose and meaning and value. One, because you're made in the image of God, but two, because I believe God also has put something inside of you, gifts inside of you, that if his Holy Spirit can get a hold of us, then God can do some amazing things through your life, more than you can even think, ask, or even imagine that he can do. So what we're going to see today, as we look at this idea around our gifts, we're going to see this idea that we need to grow our gifts, that we need to guard our gifts, and lastly, that we need to let the Holy Spirit guide our gifts. And so look with me in 2 Timothy, starting in chapter 1, and we're going to look at verse 6. So God's word says this, verse 6, "For this reason I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands." Let me pray for us as we dig in. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this morning. Thank you for your word. God, thank you that you know exactly where we are today as we walked in today. You know our hearts. You know the things that we're worried about. You know where we're at. And so, God, I'm just asking right now that you would speak to us right where we are. That, Lord, we would have an encounter with the living God here today, and that your word and your spirit would do something amazing in each of our hearts and our lives today, that we would walk out of here different and changed because we met you. So, God, we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So our first point this morning is that we need to grow our gifts. You need to grow your gift. And the first thing we see that Paul writes to his young disciple Timothy, he says, "For this reason." So in essence, he's saying, hey, listen up, Timothy. I want you to know this. This, I want you to take this into consideration. He says, "I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God." Here's why I like that. A couple of things there is one, he says, "Hey, I need to remind you." I don't know about you, but I need to be reminded of some things from time to time. My wife reminds me very regularly of things that I need to do, whether it's putting away dishes or picking up my wet towel or whatever those things are, right? But we have things in our lives that we need to be reminded of. And the Bible is a great reminder. Paul, writing to churches and disciples, he would regularly remind them of things that he has previously told them. And so there are going to be things that we're going to hear in church. You would say, hey, that's not a brand new thing, but gosh, I need to be reminded of that. And so what Paul is telling Timothy is, I want to remind you that you need to fan into flame the gift of God. And so here's one of the things that we take from that. It's, we know that Timothy has a gift that God has put in him. We don't know the gift. Paul doesn't tell us the gift. We don't quite sure what it is. But what we do know is Timothy has a gift or gifts. See, I don't think there's maybe just one thing that really we're gifted to do. I think God puts lots of things inside of us. But sometimes, right, we need to be reminded of a significant gift that we have. And here's what Paul tells Timothy. Now, he needs to fan into flame that gift. That's a great visual kind of metaphor that Paul is giving Timothy, because that would have been very helpful in his day and age. They didn't live in a day where you walked into a room, just flipped a light switch, and the lights came on. Or if you needed heat, you just, let's go set the thermostat and let this furnace heat us up, right? They would use fire. And so they were used to, right, cultivating and making fires. Perhaps you have made some bonfires in your day. And so here's what I thought I would do today. I thought, let me bring in one of my portable bonfires. Let's put some logs on and let's see. And I was like, that's not a good idea. Let's not do that. Let's not put fire inside a building. But just for the sake of the analogy, I do have a digital fire that we can see and hear, okay? So that way we can kind of, you can go to the same place with me for a moment, all right? So you've seen a fire. Perhaps you've made a fire. Now, I grew up in Kentucky, and we had some wood-burning stoves in our house, and we would regularly cut wood, and we would, you know, kind of make fires and keep the fires going for heat or for other kinds of stuff there. That was a lot of fun. So, but one of the things that I know is you just leave a fire like this, What's eventually going to happen to that fire? It's going to burn out. It's going to die. It's going to lose fuel and energy and resources, and it's just going to dwindle and die. And so I think about that. What Paul is trying to tell Timothy is, hey, God's put something in your life. He's put gifts inside of you. And here's what I need you to do, Timothy. I want to remind you to do this, to fan into flame, to not let your gifts dwindle and die. I want your gifts to grow. So here's what you need to do, Timothy. Fan into flame. You need to feed it. You need to stir it. You need to kindle that fire inside of you. In the same way, if you're managing a fire, right? Normally, if you're doing a bonfire, somebody's right. They got the job. They want to manage the fire. They want to, you know, put wood in it, feed it, move the wood around, right? One of the things I love doing, my kids love seeing this too, is when the fire starts to get down low and there's the embers going, you can take like a piece of cardboard or some wood and you can just fan right over that, and that breeze, that wind activates some oxygen, it gets the coals moving right, and all of a sudden, whoop, you see the flames go again. And I feel like that's what Paul is saying to Timothy. He's saying you need to exercise and to grow your gifts. That you have gifts. You have something burning inside of you. And that the Holy Spirit wants to activate those gifts and wants to use those gifts in your life. And so maybe as I'm sharing that, you may say, Lee, I have no idea what my gifts are. That's great that Timothy has a gift, but Lee, I don't know if you know me. In my life, I'm not good at anything. I would say, that's not true. That's totally not true. You may not know what it is yet, and that's okay. But I believe God has put something inside every single one of us, that he's put gifts inside of you and me, from our personalities, right, to perhaps even just the things that we enjoy doing. And so one of the things at my last church that we did that I thought was kind of helpful for me in getting an idea of, like, what's my sweet spot? How do I leverage and use the things that God's put inside of me to do things that I feel like give me life and energy? And so it's called kind of this idea of around a sweet spot. And so I want to show you this this slide here to help you see that in your own life. You see, there's this overlap between these three circles, and the middle is the idea of this kind of sweet spot. So what you see on the circle on the upper left is it says passion. So what fuels you the most? That might be a question for you to ask yourself this week. What is it that energizes you? What fuels you in your life? One of the things you can do to help do that is, like, what keeps you awake at night? What do you dream about? What are the things that offend you, that bother you in your life? See, those could be an indication of some passions inside of you, that perhaps your life experiences, your family of origin, your environment, right, your passion, these things that fuel you and energize you, so passion. Then the one on the right is ability. What can I do the best? These are like skills. These are things that you are good at. You could take spiritual gifts tests. You could ask people around you, what do you think I'm good at? Some of you are like great at solving problems. Like, you just have a way of like seeing something and being able to provide a sense of, hey, have you thought about this, this, and this? Some of you have really good gifts of like discernment. I don't know what to do, so I go to you for advice, and you always have wonderful things to help me along that way. Some of you have great gifts of hospitality. What you do best, man, inviting people into your home, connecting with them, right, pursuing them, all of these kinds of things. What do you do best? And then the bottom is context. Where is my impact the greatest? As you think about the overlap of these, of where do you feel like in the environments that you are that you make the biggest impact? Now, and biggest isn't numerics. It's not the most people. But for you, the environment is like, some of you is like, man, in my home, the relationships around my kids or my family, like, I make a significant impact there. Others, it may be in a different business or in a different environment or different whatever that may be, but where is your impact the greatest? And so think about those questions, and I think that can help you and I begin to see what is it that God's put in us that we could lean into and leverage, that we could exercise. And here's what that's going to require of you and me is getting out of our comfort zone. I remember hearing a pastor a while ago say that we like to live in our comfort zone, right? But then there's the place of where we go, and it's kind of the a zone that is too far. It's kind of out of bounds for us. It really hurts us. It's too far. But right in the middle of that zone, it's called kind of this stretch zone. And it's right in the middle of that zone is where you and I begin to experience growth, right? So you've got comfort zone, and then you kind of got risk zone, that if you go too far, you might hurt yourself, right? But right in the middle of that. And I think of it like lifting weights or working out, all right? If you want to grow, you've got to stretch your muscles. You've got to push them. You've got to give them some resistance. You've got to challenge them. Now, you could be silly and put 500 pounds on a bench press, and that's just going to, right, crush your chest. That's risk too far. But some of us, we get so comfortable in our comfort zone that we never want to step outside of that. So how do we exercise these gifts that we have? We've got to put ourselves in environments and situations that challenge our gifts, that we get to exercise, that we get to use them. And as you use your gifts, you begin to see the impact that it can have on the people around you. One of the things that I love from that text is you see that Paul says this was given to you by the laying on of hands. And what Paul is likely referring to Timothy, he says, hey, remember when these pastors and elders, he kind of references this in Acts, I believe it's Acts 20, he talks about the Ephesian elders. They lay hands over Paul, and they're laying hands on Timothy, and they're praying over them. And just say, like Paul's like, hey, I prayed over you, Timothy. We had leaders pray over and affirm these gifts. That you be, he was reminding you, hey, I've seen these in you. And perhaps that's some responsibilities that you and I have for our kids and for those around us. Hey, I see this in you. You have this ability to welcome people, to connect with people, to unpack ideas. Or man, you have this, you've got an incredible voice. Or man, the compassion you show people. Man, like you've got a gift. We can acknowledge that and help people see that. Because deep down, here's what I think Paul is wanting Timothy to know, is that you and I, that he and along with him, is that we have a meaningful contribution to make. You have a meaningful contribution to make, not just in this world, but in the kingdom of God. And you see, for some of us, we don't believe that. We say, Lee, you don't know my story. You don't, like, what I'm good at. Like, how is that going to make any impact in the world? But you see, in Ephesians chapter 4, Paul is writing to the leaders in the church in Ephesus, and he's reminding them of saying, hey, here are some things that God has given to the church, and here's what happens, Ephesians 11. And he gave, that's God gives to the church, he says he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and the teachers. You see, I think what Paul is saying in this letter is he's saying, hey, these aren't just offices and leaders. These are gifts. These are things that God gave the church, these different kinds of gifts. Thinking about apostles, pioneering people in ministry, prophets, people who tell you the truth, evangelists, people who love to share the good news about Jesus, shepherds, those who help lead and care for those around them, and teachers, those who kind of unpack different things. He says he gave these to the church. Why? To equip the saints for the work of ministry. That we as the body of Christ have a responsibility to equip those around us, right? Why? For the building up of the body of Christ until we all attain the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Essentially, what Paul is saying is God gave the church gifts, gave leaders and people that he gifted them. Why? So that the body of Christ would be built up, so that it would mature, that there'd be unity together as we leverage and use our gifts so that the people around us are built up in their lives and in their faith. You see, the gifts God put in you is meaningful because it builds up the people around you. God wants you to use your gifts to build up one another. It's why your presence in life group matters. You may say, man, I don't know that I need a life. I'm pretty, like, the people around you need your gifts, and you need their gifts. We need each other. It's why our teams, our life teams of people serving together, it's why they're so significant and they matter, because we need people using their gifts, because together, collectively, we mature and grow together in Christ. You have a meaningful contribution to make. So let me just ask you, how are you exercising your gifts? How are you using and exercising your gifts? Do you know them? And are you using them? There's a quote from a church consultant, and he used to serve at a church, and he's since passed away, but his name's Tony Morgan. He said this that I thought really captures this idea of using our gifts to help people around us. He said, this is what I know about myself. When I'm serving other people, I'm worrying less about the challenges I'm facing in my life. When I'm serving other people, I feel more connected to the body of Christ and the mission God has given the church. When I'm serving other people, I can't help but experience a sense of fulfillment that I'm making a difference in someone else's life. When I'm serving other people, I pray more because I want people to experience God's love through me. And when I'm serving other people, it stretches my faith as I trust God to do what only he can do. Friends, this is what happens when we use our gifts. When we exercise them, we make an impact in those around us. But we just don't need to grow our gifts, friends. We need to also guard our gifts. Look with me in verse 7. Paul tells Timothy, "For God gave us a spirit not of fear." Fear. In essence, I think what Paul is telling Timothy is he's got to guard his life and his gifts from fear. Because fear wants to come in and wants to take from Timothy's gifts. That Paul is wanting to warn Timothy to not let fear drive his life and his ministry. Friends, that we can let fear begin to come in and speak to us and lie to us about who we are or what we can do. You see, fear can come into our lives in the same way in that movie Twisters. Fear was coming into Kate's life. She's like, "I was using my gifts and it got the people around me hurt." She was saying, "I'm afraid that if I do this, it's going to hurt more people. And so I'm going to take a step back." And so fear can do that to you and to me. We can let fear drive our lives. And what Paul is telling him is saying, hey, you've got to be careful for fear because fear is a liar. I love that song by Zach Williams who talks about fear is a liar. If you haven't heard it, it's really good. But in thinking about this, like fear is this idea that it's lying to you and me, telling us that our circumstances are greater than our Savior. Fear is going to tell you that you're insignificant. Your contribution doesn't matter. You don't need to be there. You're going to mess up. You're going to screw up. You're going to fail God. You're going to fail the people around you. Why put yourself in that kind of vulnerable situation? We let fear begin to tell us who we are rather than let God tell us who we are. And I think, just trying to think about what are some lies that we can believe around fear. I think three that kind of come to mind, and this idea connected to some of the temptation that Jesus experienced from Satan. I think there's some fears connected with that. But one of those fears is this idea that I'll never have enough. You see, there can be a fear in our lives that because we're afraid that God's not going to provide for us, that we're going to take matters into our own hands, that I can't trust God with my life, that if I use my gifts, it's not going to help provide for me, my family, or provide around us. And so there's this fear that begins to come in that I'm not going to have enough, so I've got to take matters in my own. I can't trust God. Another fear may be I'll never do enough. That maybe there's gifts that God's given me, but they're not going to make any sort of difference in the people around. I'm not going to do anything significant or meaningful in my life. Fear is going to begin to tell you, right, that you don't have anything to give, or you're not going to make any sort of difference in the world, or in your friends' lives or the people's lives around you. But the lie that I think I can most commonly believe is that I'll never be enough, that I can let fear tell me that I'm just not good enough. I'm not a good enough pastor. I'm not a good enough husband. I'm not a good enough leader. I'm not a good enough you fill in the blank for you. But we begin to let fear try to tell us that we're never going to be enough. And I can't imagine with Timothy here that there likely were some lies that were trying to creep in his life and ministry. And Paul is saying, don't let fear have the final say in your life. Because fear will lie to you, Timothy. God's spirit, the spirit he put inside of you that is working through you, Timothy, is not a spirit of fear. But what does he tell him it is? Tells him it's a spirit of power and love and self-control. You see, this is where this idea, I want to move to the third point, is that we need to guide our gifts. You see, what Paul is telling Timothy here is that letting fear be the guide, let the Holy Spirit guide your gifts. And let the Spirit tell you what love and power and self-control that the Holy Spirit is working in and through you. You see, look, he said, "For God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power, love, and self-control, that if Timothy will let the Holy Spirit guide him, right, then he'll begin to experience the joy and the blessing of which God had put these gifts inside of him." And the same is true for you and me. That we need to not let fear have the final say in our lives. That sometimes it keeps us from stepping into a small group because we're afraid what other people are going to think about us. That maybe we let fear tell us not to step into serving because we're afraid that, right, that they don't need us or that I'm not going to do a good enough job or I can't make it or I can't cut it. Or we let fear keep us from stepping out in faith and trusting God because we're not letting his power and his love and his self-control direct you and me. And here's how I think about even those three qualities that the Holy Spirit does in and through our lives. Here's how I think it speaks to some of those lives. This idea that we will never have enough. To me, I think of this idea of self-control. And here's what the Holy Spirit tells you and I. Philippians 4, that my God will supply every need of yours according to his glorious riches, that I am fully satisfied in Christ, that I don't have to go to the things of this world to get satisfaction in my life. So I do have enough because I have Christ and I am enough with him. And so this idea of self-control says that I can have control over my life. I don't have to go to this relationship or buy this thing or get this. I can have control over my choices and decisions because the Holy Spirit is guiding and directing me. So as I leverage and use my gifts, I can let the Holy Spirit work in and through me, using my gifts with self-control for the purpose God had called us to. I think of this idea that I'll never do enough. That's where the power comes in. That sometimes what Paul tells us is that God's grace is sufficient for us. He says, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in your weakness. That when we think we're not strong enough or good enough, that God's Spirit reminds us that my grace is sufficient for you. That you have the power of God working in and through your life. And that word power is the same word where we get in the English language, dynamite. It's not just like you're plugging it into the outlet. Like, this is an explosive power working in and through you and me. God is wanting you and I to know that we've got an explosive power inside of us that is going to work in and through you to do exactly what God is calling you to do. And then this idea of love, that I'll never be enough, that the Holy Spirit reminds you and I that we are loved in Christ. That there is nothing you can do that's going to make God love you more. Going to church more, serving more, giving more, do it. Like, none of those things, God's going to be like, I'm going to love you more because of that. There's nothing you can do to make God love you less than he already does in Christ. You say, Lee, how do I know that? Well, Romans 5:8 tells us, God demonstrates his own love for us, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. That he says that Christ got on the cross and died for you while you were still in your sin, while you still felt like you were unlovable, unredeemable, unsavable. The cross reminds you and I that God loves you, lavishes his love upon you and me. So when we try to believe the lie that I'll never be enough, we can be reminded that I am fully loved by God. And I don't need to do anything to prove that God loves me because I'm already loved by God. So here's what we can take from that, friends, is that you and I, we have everything that we need to do, everything that God is calling us to do. You see, you don't lack in anything. If God is calling you into something, he is going to provide you with what you need. The gifts, the opportunities, the resources in there, like God is not going to call you into stepping into something and just say, I'm going to let you figure that out on your own. You know, just, you'll be okay. No, God is going to go with you, go before you. And so, friends, we can use our gifts knowing that God has given us everything that we need to know that he's going to show up with us every step of the way. He's not going to abandon you along the way. And so we can fight our fear with faith. Rather than letting fear have the final say in your life on what you will or can't do or what you could do, we're going to let our faith and our trust in Jesus as we listen to the Holy Spirit in our lives and say, no, I thank God you put this in me. I've seen others call that out of me, and I want to step into this, trusting you, that you are with me, guiding me along the way. We will not let fear direct our lives. We will let our faith and our trust as we walk and follow Jesus, as we take our steps with him. And so just thinking about it in closing this up, one of the things that I thought about in this idea of what does it look like for you and I to lean in to the gifts God's put in us, to not let fear hold us back, but to instead let our faith and our trust in Jesus be the one directing and driving our lives. There was a movie several years ago called The Greatest Showman. I don't, you may have seen it or may not. There is this, one of the anthem kind of songs in this movie is called This Is Me. Perhaps you've heard this. But you may not know this. Before they gave kind of the green light for the movie to go forward, they would record kind of rehearsal sessions of the songs and all that kind of stuff there. And what was interesting, in the song, they had been kind of prepping and training this, but the person leading the song, she had a lot of fear in her life. She was afraid of kind of being vulnerable and stepping out and kind of singing the song and just kind of going 100% and going all in. And so the director was encouraging, hey, like in this moment, I want you to kind of get out from behind the stand, the music stand, and just to lean into it, right? To leverage it, to kind of use your gifts in this way. And I love it because you see in this moment, this idea of when she understands, right, her gifts and what God is putting her, that she's got a contribution to make. And you begin to see the life in her come out, and you begin to see how it impacts the room. And so I want us to kind of see that, for you to think about what would it look like for you to lean into the gifts God's putting you, for you to live that out. And then we'll kind of close it up. So watch this. It's a few minutes long, but I think every moment is meaningful. Watch this. It's powerful, right? Like just thinking about in that moment when she kind of steps into this idea of like, this is me. And to me, like it is something beautiful. I think our hearts just realize that. But I think how much more so do we as followers of Jesus can lean into that even more? Of who we are, who God has created you to be. That you're not an accident, that you've got purpose, you've got meaning, you've got something to contribute, that you're not just wishfully thinking that or trying to speak that over your life, but you know because of what God's word tells you and me that you have a gift, that you can grow it, that you can fan it into flame, that you can guard it from fear, not letting that tell you what you can and can't do, but you can let God's spirit guide you with power and love and self-control. And friends, when we begin to lean into that, we begin to leverage that, we begin to exercise our gifts, I begin to see just how the temperature in the room begins to change, how your life group begins to change, as your small group, as your serving team, as your friends, as the people around you get impacted as you lean into the gifts God's put in you and the joy that you live with in your life, the freedom that you get to have in your life. As I think about what God right put in you, he wants to work through you. And so, friends, I get excited thinking about what that would look like in each and every one of us to live that out. For you to embrace God's call on your life, as you get to figure that out, whether you're 18 or whether you're 80, right? It's never too late to begin to step into the gifts God has given you and to ask God to use you to make a difference in whatever way he sees fit. Because it's not about the size or the scope or the, you know, platform. It's about just being faithful with the people and the places God has you, and to using your gifts to impact the people around you, and to see how God would use you and me to make a difference in people's lives around us for his kingdom, for his glory, and our good. Let's pray together. As you close your eyes, bow your heads with me, I just want to, as we begin to just respond, God, as I think about it, the folks in the room here, I imagine there's a couple of different places where we may find ourselves here. But one is maybe in the category that we're here, but we have no idea. They have no idea maybe what their gifts are or, God, what they could do or how you could use them. And so there's really this idea of how do I begin to discover these gifts? And so, God, I just pray maybe the first step for them to do is just to ask you right now and to say, Lord, what is it that you put in me? What gifts, what passions, what things, God, have you put inside of me that you want me to use? And to listen and to see what he might tell you. Maybe it's to ask the people around you that are closest to you that know you and say, what is it that you think God has gifted me to do? Help me discover these gifts so I could use them. But maybe you find yourself in a category where you say, Lee, I think I know the things that I'm good at, but I have been letting fear hold me back. I have been letting fear be the one who's speaking over me and telling me what I can't do and that I'm not good enough, I'll never be enough, I'll never do enough, I'll never have enough. But maybe today is the day we say, I don't want to let that be the one speaking life over me. I want my faith in Jesus to be the one that I'm listening to. So God, let your Holy Spirit tell me that I am loved, that I have self-control in my life, that I've got the power of God working in and through me. God, help me develop these gifts. Maybe another category in here is to say, you know your gifts, and you've maybe been exercising, and I would say keep fanning into flame those gifts. Keep deploying and using those gifts because you're making a difference, whether you know it or not, in the people's lives around you, in your home, in your workplaces, on your life team. Keep using your gifts because we need them. Because what God you put in us, you want to work through us. Help us to keep trusting you, God, even when we're not quite sure how it's going to play out or what the next step is. Help us to keep faithfully trusting you that he who began a work in me will see it through to completion. God, I pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.